This young man, that is, at the time he was saved, he was quite a young man. One of the greatest honors ever bestowed upon any man in the history of the world is this young man, Timothy, who had the honor of having two epistles addressed to him with the most blessed doctrine in all the Bible. Nothing more wonderful than the messages addressed to this man, Timothy. Now, let's think of this. Timothy, according to the authorities, 2 Timothy was written in the year 67 A.D., year of our Lord. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ died about 33 and a half A.D. Now notice this. Timothy, it is supposed that Paul died in the year 68 A.D., and you'll notice this then, that Paul lived, that is, his death was just about 33 and a half years after the death of Christ. So you see, if Christ died 33 and a half or 34 A.D., and Paul died about 68 A.D. You can see then when he wrote 2 Timothy. It was about halfway, but the death of Christ was about halfway between the time Christ was born and the time that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. Now Timothy joined the Apostle Paul right before Paul went out of Asia into Europe. The first large city in Europe visited by Paul was Philippi. And Timothy lived at Lystra. It was in Timothy's hometown, according to the 14th chapter of Acts, that they stoned Paul and thought he was dead. His body was put on the outside of the city. They were dragging his body and left it there and left him for dead. You can see what kind of a courageous young fellow Timothy was. Don't know how old he was. Maybe somewhere, I doubt if Paul would have taken him if he was under 20. He was a young man, but he saw what happened to Paul. He saw Paul was stoned to death. And notwithstanding that fact, he said, "Paul, I'd like to go with you and suffer with you and preach with you." And so in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, we find that Timothy joined Paul, and not many weeks after that, they left Asia, and they had a cry, you remember, from Macedonia, "Come over and help us." Now Paul wanted to stay in Asia, but the Lord, by the Holy Spirit in a vision, called him over to Macedonia, and he went over into Europe. As we said, the first large city he reached was Philippi, and there he got into trouble. He and Silas got into jail, you remember. And you remember the scene at midnight in the 16th of Act, when the Philippian jailer under conviction cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Now he wrote to Timothy, there may be someone here who's not saved. He wrote to Timothy in the first epistle, in the 15th verse, a wonderful gospel message. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Now, there are many reasons why Christ came into the world. He appeared once in the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He was made a partaker of flesh and blood to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He made peace by the blood of his cross. And he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He said in the 6th chapter of John, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul tells you that in 1 Timothy. If you have your Bible, if you'll notice 1 Timothy, what he said in the 16th verse. In 1 Timothy 16, he said, the 14th verse, he said, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now there we have the statement again, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, because Paul calls himself the chief of sinners in the 15th verse. I mentioned the other night in teaching that it took the same grace of God to save Paul from his sin as the chief of sinners that it took to save him from his religion. He said, I profited in the religion above many of mine equal. He was a very religious man, and it took the same grace of God to save him from religion that it took to save him from his sin. And you notice the 16th verse of this first chapter. He says, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, as I said, we don't have many problems in 2 Timothy. You know, let me call your attention first to the 4th chapter, 11th verse. Will you read that of 2 Timothy if you have it there? Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, this was written in the year 67 A.D., and the two writers, that is, two men who wrote two of the four Gospels as we talk, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now get this, it's very interesting to note this. John did not write his Gospel until more than 20 years after Paul died. Now when you find out that God, by the Holy Spirit, restrained John from writing his Gospel until 20 years after Paul died, then you must know that no one can understand the Gospel of John who is not thoroughly indoctrinated in the epistles of Paul. You must understand Paul's epistle before you can understand the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is nothing like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are 14 and one half chapters in the Gospel of John recording facts and truths that are not found anywhere in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, according to the authorities, was written in the year 38 A.D. That was before Cornelius was saved. Matthew was written within 6 years after Christ died. God did not permit John to write the Gospel of John until at least 50 years after Matthew wrote the book of Matthew. Undoubtedly, the first book that was written was Matthew, and the second book was the Epistle of James. The Epistle of James is addressed to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And there isn't any indication in the book of James that there is such a thing as the body of Christ. There's no mention of Gentiles. It's written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It's written to people who were meeting on the Jewish Sabbath in the Jewish synagogue. For in the second chapter of James, the second verse, it says, if a man come into your synagogue. The Jews were worshiping in the synagogue. And so we believe James was the second book written. Now I want you to notice here, Luke and Mark. According to Dr. Schofield, Mark was written in 57 A.D. and Luke was written in 63 A.D. Luke may have written the book of Acts before he wrote the book of Luke. But Luke and Mark were in the body of Christ and they knew all of the truth concerning the mystery that was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. Now we have some of our brethren that tell us that Peter wasn't in the body of Christ because he didn't tell us any body truth in 1 Peter. If that's true, then Luke and John were not in the body of Christ because they told us nothing about body truth in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. Be very careful. Be a Berean and use some sanctified common sense. And don't take anything as final authority from anyone. There's only one infallible teacher, and that teacher is the Holy Spirit. But here we know from the fourth chapter that Luke and Mark were both members of the body of Christ. And they were the writers of the second and the third gospels. And of course, they wrote all about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom gospel, but they wrote nothing about the mystery. And Luke was with Paul all during the book of Acts, and he never said anything in the book of Acts about the body of Christ. The truth in the book of Acts is not concerning the body. There's truth there that concerns the body, but that specific truth is not given us. Now, if you want to get in your minds, as we said, the development of grace. There's difference between grace in a form of dispensation and the dispensation of grace. Paul calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ for Gentiles. Notice what he says in 1 Timothy 2:4. In 1 Timothy 2:4, he says, God will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. Now notice, why does he put this in here? I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I said two or three times Paul does this. It reminds me of when we were little children and we were trying to get our brothers and sisters and our playmates to believe what we said, and they received it with a pinch of salt and they doubted it, and we'd say, I declare and cross my heart. We try to impress upon. I want you to think what this man's doing. Why did he have to do this? Peter wouldn't have to do this. None of the 12 would have to do it. But he says, I speak the truth in Christ and I'm not lying. Now, why did he say that? Because when the Apostle Paul received this truth from the Lord Jesus Christ, no other human being was with him. He was up in the third heavens and in paradise, and the Lord gave him by revelation the gospel of the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God, which he called the dispensation of the mystery. And when he told them that, you'll find over in the rest of this, as we go on, he'll say, all they that be in Asia have turned against me. Now you remember when Paul was in Asia and he left the city of Ephesus and he told them goodbye. He says, you'll never see my face again. And when he went to leave, they all came and fell on his neck and kissed him. Because he said, you'll never see me again. Well, when we get over into the Timothy, after he comes into the full revelation of the mystery, they didn't care whether they ever saw him again. Not accepting the Lord Jesus, we will accept him in a way, but no man was ever on this earth hated like the Apostle Paul. He said that he was counted he said, we're a spectacle before angels with the offscouring of the earth. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter all day long. And to think what he suffered. And he suffered that for you and for me. He suffered it for the gospel of the grace of God. He suffered that for Gentiles. The prisoner of Jesus Christ for Gentiles, an ambassador in bond, the teacher and preacher and apostle. But notice what he said. He said he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now the due time was not while Christ was on earth, because Christ on earth said, go not in the way of the Gentile. The due time was not during the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts, up to the time Paul was saved, because in the 10th chapter, Peter said, it is unlawful for any of the 12 apostles to preach to a Gentile. Now, when did the due time come? When did the due time come when those who were alienated from the life of God, who were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, who were dead in trespass and sin, Gentiles afar off in the world without hope and without God, when did their due time come? When God set aside the nation Israel. And when Israel was set aside, then Paul said, as Israel stumbled that they might fall, God forbid, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. And if the diminishing of the Jews be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And when God cast away the Jew, he sent reconciliation unto the Gentiles. Now when he went to the Gentiles did not have to become religious. They did not have to take on Judaism or legalism or any religion at all. When Paul turned to the Gentiles, he says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now we say that there's a difference between grace and a dispensation and the dispensation of grace. Now I want you to get it. We start out with Matthew. Here's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Then after Acts comes 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, 2 Corinthians. That's the order up to the close of the book of Acts. Now listen, this is very interesting. I told you about a young lady who was selling the portions of the Bible. And she had been for 3 months giving out one book. I said, what book have you been giving out? She said, the book of Matthew. I said, for the sake of both Jews and Gentiles, why don't you give out the book of Romans? She said, why? Well, I said, I'm going to be a Gentile, lost sinner now, and I want you to take the book of Matthew and lead me to Christ. She said, what do you mean? I said, open the book of Matthew now and lead me to the Lord. And I went over 20 different things there, where the Lord said, if you do not forgive your fellow man, God will not forgive you. And the many things that he told him to do there. And he said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never get into heaven. Be thou perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. If they ask you to walk a mile, walk 2. Agree with your adversaries quickly. Lend to those who cannot pay you back. And went on through, and he said, if you do not forgive your fellow man, God will deliver you to the tormentors until you pay the uttermost farthing. Well, she said, how about come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Well, I said, that's in the 11th chapter of Matthew. Let's go to the 15th chapter. And he said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never said to any Gentile, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Because he was a minister of the circumcision. And he said to that Gentile woman, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And I said, when he sent the 12 apostles out, he said, go not in the way of the Gentile. And when he sent them out, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And in Matthew, there are 28 chapters. Mark, there are 16 chapters. There's 44. There are 24 in Luke, that's 68. Listen, 68 chapters, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you'll never find the word grace one single time. It's manifested there, but it's never mentioned. Paul uses the word grace more than 100 times. Anybody ought to know that the Apostle Paul is the Lord's messenger of grace. He uses grace 19 or 20 times in the book of Romans. It's 13 times in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Over 100 times, he says, I must finish my course. I must testify of the gospel of the grace of God, which I have received. And then he comes out with this glorious gospel of grace. And he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? that I might preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable or untraceable riches of Christ. I'm the apostle of Christ to the Gentiles. I'm the teacher. I'm the preacher. I am the prisoner of Jesus Christ. I am the ambassador in bond. Gentile, Gentile, Gentile. Didn't he preach to Jews? Yes. The 19th of Acts says that when he was preaching near Ephesus, all they that in Asia heard the word, both Jews and Gentile, he preached to the Jews. Certainly preached to the Jews. But he was the apostle of the Gentile. And therefore he was our apostle. I told you about writing to a man up at Moline, Michigan. He was a Christian reform man. Somebody sent him the little pamphlet I had, Jesus Christ, the apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul went to jail for you and suffered for us as the apostle of the Gentile. He read that. He wrote to me and he said, if the apostle Paul went to jail and suffered as a criminal for me, I'm going to certainly follow the apostle Paul as he said, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is what I wanted to get. In the book of Matthew, it is 87% religion and about 13% grace. Mark is a little more grace and a little less religion. Luke is a little more, still a little more grace and less religion. John has more grace in it than all the other three combined. It's in the book of John that it says the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Of his fullness have all we received. And grace upon grace, grace upon grace, the grace came by Jesus Christ. Then we go into the book of Acts, and you have the law and religion, and it gives way in the last part to grace. You go from there to 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, then 1 Corinthians, then Galatians, then Romans, and then 2 Corinthians. And this is what you'll find. With each succeeding book, there's a little less religion, and a little more grace. A little less religion and a little more grace. Now when you come to the epistles after Paul closed the close of the book of Acts, you'll find Philippians and Ephesians and Colossians and Timothy and Titus. And in those epistles, you'll find no religion. All the religion is gone now because Israel has been set aside. Some people say, I told you about our dear brother that was here speaking the other night, the man who was 90 years of age. He sat down at the Bible Institute. He said, I wanted to feel the students out. He said, the table was all around me. He said, boys, I'd like to ask you a question. If you found in Paul's last epistle that he didn't agree with Jesus Christ in some of his teaching, what would you do? Would you accept the teachings of Christ or do you accept the teachings of Paul? Oh, we'd accept the teachings of Christ. Then the teachings of Paul wouldn't be true, would they? He said, if you take the teaching of Paul in Colossians and Ephesians and Philippians and Timothy and put it back in the book of Matthew, it would be altogether out of place. You're back here in Matthew before Christ died on the cross, before the nation of Israel was set aside, and Jesus Christ was under the law and the Jews were under the law. And over here, the apostle Paul in Colossians said that when Christ died on the cross, God blotted out the handwriting of ordinances was against us and contrary to us. He took it out of the way, he nailed it to the cross. Therefore, let no man judge you with respect to a holy day or a new moon day, or feast or the Sabbath. For you're not under the law, you're under grace. Suppose anyone had said while Christ was on earth, you're not under the law, you're under grace. Would it have been true? No. Christ himself was under the law. And all the people were with him under the law. And the Jewish nation was with him under the law. So don't you see what the principle of progressive revelation? We have a man in this movement that fought us for 5 years. My, he was a bitter enemy. And he slipped into a Bible conference where I was teaching one afternoon. And he's now at the head of a movement and doing a good work for us. And I took 2 Timothy. I said, I want to compare Matthew with 2 Timothy. Matthew was the first book written. 2 Timothy was the last epistle of Paul. And I took out of the 2 Timothy some of the things and compared them with Matthew. And I said, you don't have any problem at all in 2 Timothy. It's in 2 Timothy that you read, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now notice what Paul says. in the second epistle here, beginning at the seventh verse. God hath not given us, this is 2 Timothy 1:7. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Down at Founders Week, a man told a story. He told of a gathering of some very important men who belonged to the Church of England. And he said they met together and they had a wonderful feast. They just had their dinner and they were all well dressed and they were having a wonderful time chatting. And the side door opened and a man went in and his clothes were all torn and he had a cut on his face and his hair was all matted and the soles of his shoes were out and he was ragged and he came in and they said, just think of that bum coming in the side door when we're having such a wonderful time. And the fellow spoke up and he said, I'm not a bum, I'm the Apostle Paul. And after the man told the story, one of our dear friends walked up to him and he says, brother, if you believe this, why don't you preach it? Well, that was something different, wasn't it? Oh, just think of what that man went through. Did you ever read of the sufferings of the Apostle Paul? Did you ever read all the sufferings that were added to him? All the imprisonments, and he was hungry, and he was in the deep a day and a night, not only in that shipwreck, but before that. And finally he received a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he prayed 3 times that it might be removed from him. And he said, I suffer as an evildoer. Let's go on. We'll read this. We'll have to close. Notice. He said, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. Think of anybody preaching this now while Christ was on earth. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't it strange we wait to the last epistle to learn that truth? This grace by which we are saved is according to God's eternal purpose, and that purpose was purposed in Christ before the world began, and in the ages to come he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. And we learn in 2 Timothy and Ephesians, we're in an eternal circle of grace. There's no such thing as time. Time is a little speck in the circle of eternity. And before the world began, God gave us this grace. God purposed before the world began, he was going to have a church made up of those who would be saved wholly by grace. And in the ages to come, he'll show the exceeding riches of his grace. And he's going to present the church unto himself as a glorious church, spotless church, a holy church without blemish. And Christ and the church will be one place. And making the one new man by reconciling unto God in one body by the cross, every believer. And before God could ever have a church or get people to glory, he had to come to the unmixed message and program of grace without anything for man to do. You don't have to do one single thing to get into glory. You can settle a matter of going to heaven forever and ever like I did in less than 10 minutes' time. After you settle that, there's plenty to do. There's plenty to do after that, to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light and to be a witness and an ambassador for the Lord. Then you'll be rewarded according to your works, but not saved by your works. Now notice what he said. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I want you to get this next, because it is not in the Greek as you read it here. Notice, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. If you have a Swedish Bible, you know that it's the very opposite. And it's nothing about committing in it. It's the word paratheka, and paratheka is a deposit. And the deposit, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, and 17, a dispensation. A dispensation was committed unto me. Oikonomia, and there here it's called a deposit. What did the Lord deposit with Paul? He deposited with him a dispensation of the grace of God and the dispensation of the mystery for the Gentile. And he wasn't saying, I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Paul didn't commit it unto him. He committed it unto Paul. And you have it in the 14th verse. Notice what he says. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. Now, Paul passed it on to Timothy, and Timothy passed it on to us. Isn't this interesting to note? Up to 2 Timothy, the church was in the hands of Jews. All of the apostles were Jews. All the 12 were Jews. Paul was a Jew. Barnabas was a Jew. Silas was a Jew. They were all Jews until we get to Timothy. Timothy's father was a Gentile. His mother was a Jew, so he was half Jew and half Gentile. And after Timothy died, it never was in the hands of a Jew again. It's been in the hands of the Gentiles from that time on. And notice the connecting link. When God finally turns the program over to us, he turns it over to a man who was half Jew and half Gentile. And then it passed on to the Gentile. And how many Jews do you know of today that's in charge of a Christian church, a spiritual program? There are very few of them that ever take it, and the great majority do. They absolutely fail with it because we're living in the times of the Gentiles. Politically, we're living in the times of the Gentiles spiritually, and a blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile become in. Then Israel will be saved. They'll be brought back, and not only be to the Jew first, but it'll be deposited with the Jew. They'll have another deposit, which will be the gospel of the king. But today, Paul has a deposit for us. Now notice what we're to do with it. He says in the second chapter, the first verse, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Now notice, Paul had a deposit. He deposited that with Timothy. Timothy deposited it with us. And we are supposed to be faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. And God says in his book that when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to say, give an account of thy stewardship. And if you're not a steward of the mysteries of God, if you're not following Paul as he followed Christ, if you're not doing the second chapter, notice what he said. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now we close with 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And to live godly in Christ Jesus and a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel doesn't mean a partaker of the story that Christ died for our sin, but the mystery gospel that was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul.